When we built the jetty, the spired monument at Wetamasattit, inside we placed a rock. On top of the rock was a sculpted Buddha's footprint. And on the side of the rock, Ajahn Phuong had the words for the four bases for success. In Thai, Yeti Bat Si. Carved into the rock. And part of the reason was that there was a play on words. The word for footprint, bat, or foot, is also the word for base. But it's also because of the four bases for success that we're able to build the jetty. As Ajahn Phuong said, without them, nothing would have happened there. It'd still be an empty hillside. But because of them, the jetty was established. And as the Buddha himself said in his own case, his powers as a Buddha were established based on the basis for success. And because they're related directly to the practice of concentration, it's good to think about them. In Thailand, they like to apply them to every aspect of any endeavor. When you finish your education, the Thai idiom is that you succeed in your education. And again, they talk about having the four bases of success as being necessary to finish your education. But they are specifically related to concentration. And as we remember, concentration is the heart of the path. If you neglect these bases for success, the Buddha says you're neglecting the Noble Path as a whole. So it's good to keep them in mind. There's a basis of success, which is concentration founded on desire and the fabrications of exertion. There's a basis of success, which is concentration founded on persistence and the fabrications of exertion. The fabrications of exertion is there in each case. It means basically right effort. And the other two are concentration founded on intent. And the fourth is concentration founded on circumspection. It makes it sound like there are four different kinds of concentration. But in each case, you've got right effort involved. And right effort involves desire, intent, persistence. And to be right, you also have to have some circumspection as to what is skillful and what's not. So it seems to be more a question of emphasis, which factor is going to be more emphasized in your concentration, where all four are present. And you see them in the different factors for the first stage of right concentration, the first jhana. Desire. You're thinking largely about the pleasure and rapture that are going to come when the mind settles down. But of course, for desire to be properly focused, it has to be focused on the causes. If you're focused simply on the results, you can sit here and think about how much you'd like to have the results. But they're never going to come. They won't have any foundation. So you've got to focus on your efforts. In this case, the effort is to have singleness of mind. Citta ekagrata. Sometimes it's translated as one-pointedness of mind. But there's nothing in there that refers to point. And when the Buddha talks about the analogies for concentration, it's always about full body awareness. When the rapture and pleasure come, you let them fill the whole body. You work them through the body in the same way that a person making dough for bread would work the moisture through the flour. So So we're not after one-pointedness. We're after singleness. And what you want is one single perception, one single object filling the range of your awareness. So in this case, it would be the breath filling the body. And that's the one thing you're working on. That's what the effort is all about. Any hindrances that come up, in other words, anything that would distract you from this one object, you've got to put aside. And you do everything you can to keep the mind with the breath. This is where you bring in citta, or intentness, which is basically the same thing as direct thought. You don't think randomly. Your thoughts are directed. And you keep them on one topic. You give your full attention to this one topic. Then finally you bring in vimamsa, which refers to the mind's discursive, discerning faculties. And John Lee translates it as circumspection. It can also be translated as your analytical qualities, your ingenuity. The active part of the mind that's looking and thinking and evaluating. And this, of course, is related to evaluation as a factor for right concentration. You're trying to stay focused on one thing. You're paying full attention to that one thing. And then you're evaluating, how well is it going? There's a dialogue between the direct thought and the evaluation. You focus on the question of, is the mind settling down? Is it not? If it's not settling down, where's the problem? Is the problem with the breath or is the problem with the mind? Sometimes you direct your thoughts directly to the breath. Sometimes you have to focus back on the mind. And you evaluate what's going on. Is the mind ready to settle down? If it's too anxious, what are you going to do to get it more settled? If it has too much energy, what are you going to do to calm it down? If it has too little energy, what are you going to do to energize it? This is the work of evaluation. Working on this as a skill, seeing it as a problem that you want to think through. Meditation does require thinking. It's like a carpenter trying to fit two pieces of wood together so they're perfectly snug. Sometimes you sand this piece of wood, sometimes you sand that piece of wood. Try to fit them together. If they don't fit quite right together, you take them apart again and you sand them down again. Again, it can be sanding either this piece, the breath, or that piece, the mind, until they're just right for each other. Then you put them together. That's when the mind becomes one. And then you do what you can to maintain that. Now, as you maintain it, the more active side, the discerning side, becomes less and less active. You don't need to do so much direct thought and evaluation. There's simply the effort to stay with one object at the same time that you're enjoying the rapture and the pleasure. If the rapture and the pleasure seem too much, you can let them go. And there's simply equanimity. In this way, the mind settles down the way you want it to. You have some success in your meditation. I don't know how many times you hear it said that meditation is not something that you don't have good meditations or bad meditations. You're not supposed to judge your meditation. But that's not how the Buddha taught. The quality of vimamsa, it basically entails your powers of judgment. In recognition of the fact that meditation is a skill. It is something you master. And when it doesn't go well, you try to figure out why it's not going well. When it does go well, you try to maintain it. And without engaging in too much thought, you try to figure out, well, why is it going well and how can it go better? So it is possible to succeed at meditation. That's why we're here. It is a skill that can be mastered. And as you master the skill, you find that you bring all the elements of the path together. Right view and seeing that the training of the mind is the most important part of the path. It's what's going to make the difference between suffering and not suffering. Right resolve, you decide, I want to find happiness in a way that doesn't involve sensuality, that doesn't involve ill will, that doesn't involve any harmfulness. You've got it right here with the concentration. Right speech, in this case, would be the speech of directed thought and evaluation as you talk to yourself about the breath. Right action, right livelihood, everything you do to give rise to a sense of well-being. That provides the food for the mind. Right mindfulness, keeping your object in mind. And there you are, right concentration with all of its requisites. So it's in this way that following the basis for success helps to bring the Eightfold Path together. And the Eightfold Path then makes the practice complete, all centered around your breath, all centered around the mind right here. Because that's where the problem is. That's where the solution is going to be found. And it's getting firmly established right here that you're in the right place, both to understand the problem and to figure out the solution. Because this is where those qualities of vimaṃsā, your powers of judgment, do their work. First they do their work in getting the mind to settle down. And then they rest as the mind settles down more and more fully. And then they're brought back to figure out how is there still any stress here in this solid state of mind, in this practice of concentration. Because after all, it is fabricated, and we're looking for something unfabricated. So you use your powers of judgment to figure that out. It's in this way that the basis for success help you to succeed not only in getting the mind concentrated, but also solving the bigger problem. Why it is that the mind, even though it wants happiness, keeps creating suffering for itself. When that problem is solved, then the work is done.